We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. We have an exciting day ahead of us between vintage service at 11 a.m. and our children's ministry tonight at 6:30. Food starts serving at 6, and then we will be preparing. I mentioned on Monday's broadcast or one of the broadcasts about the War Room, the movie about prayer that is coming out in just a couple of days that comes out on Friday. So if you get a chance, go out and check that. It's always good to support Christian movies. This movie is done by the same people that did Facing the Giants and Fireproof and Courageous. So check that movie out and allow God to breathe some life into your prayer time with Him. Maybe His house will be a house of prayer after all. Amen? And so with that being said, we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air and Electrical, 632-9538. If you are anywhere in the county, from the south end on up to the north end, I believe it starts at down around the county line with Vero Beach. I'm not sure if they go all the way down to Sebastian or not, but they do go all the way up into the Mims area. And if you have an electrical situation or an AC situation anywhere in that area, give them a call and they can get you up and running and in good shape for the coming fall season. So if you have an issue now, I would call them before the snowbirds get down and things get even busier. So 632-9538, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. And we would greatly appreciate the positive feedback there on that. Let's look to the Word. We're going to get back to Genesis 43. We're talking about Joseph's reunion with his brothers on this, their second grocery buying mission. Verse number 29, then he, Joseph, lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. On yesterday's broadcast, we were ending when we were discussing about Joseph being moved with compassion for his brother. And the latter part of verse number 30 describes that because Joseph was moved with compassion, that he was about to lose his composure. There are some people who want to project a specific image. And I want you to know that God is very real with us. He is moved with compassion. He didn't hold anything back. I want you to look at the cross. And when you look at the cross the next time, I want you to realize the price that Jesus paid to put his love on display for you and for me. You see, it wasn't just that he died. It was the fact that he was beaten almost to the point of being unrecognizable on his journey to the cross. They project, you know, because of decency and things like that, they portray Jesus as covered up, but you've got to understand the cross was the ultimate humiliation. It was accursed to be hung. A person was considered accursed who hung on the tree. Jesus wasn't concerned with his composure. Now, like I said on, I believe, yesterday's broadcast, I'm not sure how much Joseph had in mind as to how this was all going to end. But on this particular day, he said, I'm not ready to allow people to see me overwhelmed like this. He was the second highest in the land. And so he sought for a safe place. He retreated to his chamber, and he went in there and he wept. And when he got done weeping, he washed his face. I want you to know that there are reasons to weep. Sometimes you are weeping because you are overcome with sorrow. Sometimes you can weep because you are so overcome with gratitude and goodness and just be in awe of the way things have transpired. And Joseph, he goes in and he regains his composure. Guys, we don't let people in. We don't let people behind the veil very often. And so I want to encourage you to, you know, if not to become calloused, because Joseph was a man's man. Anybody who had gone through the things that Joseph went and did not break, I'm telling you, he was a person of strength, not a person of weakness. Some people think that it is a form of weakness for people to see you cry, but I tell you, it is a position of strength when you are able to be moved with compassion. And so if you're looking for a safe place to be real, I want to encourage you not to isolate yourself and go into some closet someplace, but I want to invite you to the house of God where you can be moved with compassion and you can worship the King with abandon, and you can worship like David with a heart that is so grateful from where God has brought you to where he has brought you to. Just be overwhelmed with the holiness and the majesty of God. Guys, I want you to know we're thankful for the women in church, but I'm telling you, Jesus calls men as well. He calls us to be men of compassion, men of authenticity. And I just challenge you. If you're projecting an image that is not the real you, don't wear the mask any longer. Come to church, come to the house of God where you can be real. It says, then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. Interesting concept here. And that is, the Bible says that Joseph had the ability to restrain himself. Now, this is something relatively small. He's in a family gathering, and there are a few Egyptian witnesses there. He's in his own house, but it says that he was able to restrain himself. I want to speak this to you today and let you know that through the blood of Jesus, we are able to operate in the spirit of self-control so that we do not capitulate to every sin and temptation that comes down the road, but instead we can restrain ourselves and cause ourselves to act with a life of obedience and holiness instead of giving in to temptation. You can restrain yourself. I would get into discussions with people and say, you know, we underestimate young people. It is true that they have a lot of hormones running through their system, but the thing is not the hormones, it is that they are able to control those hormones. And if you think that it is only young people who are showing a lack of restraint, I will tell you that there are, I think it's something like 32 million people who are right now sweating because a website that they went to that promotes marital unfaithfulness and adultery, that there are people who were told it's all going to be anonymous and you can be unrestrained and you don't have to worry about getting caught. And now that thing has been hacked and those profiles and email addresses have been leaked out there, and it's all available. And there are people who did not show restraint. Those are not teenagers. Those are adults. There are people in with government email addresses, according to published reports. And right now they are sweating because they did not show lack of restraint. You know, someone said that you never have to worry what you said when you always tell the truth. And when you and I do our best to walk in obedience before God, we don't ever have to go to bed with regret that night, wondering if somebody witnessed if we showed a lack of restraint. Is there any area of your life? Listen, it's not just in sexual areas. What about eating? Did you know that, I can't see your face. And so I'm just going to go to these places where pastors would go to, and hopefully you'll still love me. But there are many times, obesity is identified as one of the largest health issues, not only in America today, but in church today. And so I want to ask you, what do you need to do to show restraint in that area? I love food. I really do. I enjoy eating. But there are times that I will say, no, I am not going to go there because I want to show restraint. Over the past couple of weeks, I'd been recovering from a cold, and hopefully my voice is getting better with each broadcast. But there were times when my wife would offer me a snack late at night right before I was going to bed. And one of those nights I was reaching for it and I was like, oh, that sounds good. And then this thought crossed my mind that whenever I eat at that point in time, it would send me into a coughing spell, which was going to prevent me from sleeping, which was going to prevent her from sleeping because of all the coughing that I would be doing. And I said, no, I'm not going to partake of that. It wasn't that I didn't like it. It was that I needed to show restraint for myself. What about speeding? Speeding in your automobile is a lack of restraint. You could talk about spending. And, you know, we in America have a spending problem where we spend resources that we do not have. And if you get right down to it, have really no hope of ever being able to take care of that. We have no restraint. Where the government was supposed to be formed as a system of checks and balances, right now none of them are showing much in the way of restraint. If there's anybody who should be operating with a spirit of self-control, it should be the church. I remember when I was in grade school, I can still remember the teacher's name. And every day when we went to music class, she would say, everything is about self-control. Self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Another translation says, and self-control, self-control. If you cast off restraint, there's a verse that says, my people perish because they cast off restraint. Restrain yourself. You see, the reality is, if I do not restrain myself, sooner or later, someone is going to come along and have to restrain me on their own. if we parents do not teach our children to that they are to restrain themselves, and they are not allowed to restrain them in school, sooner or later a policeman will have to come along and help to restrain them, to bring them back into line with the way that they are supposed to behave. You see, sooner or later, we are going to learn to be restrained. We can either do it ourselves in freedom, or others can do it for us in bondage. That's pretty good preaching. Joseph restrained himself. He said, in order for me to go out there, I have to not only regain my composure, I've got to restrain myself emotionally. If you have an anger problem and you just fly off at the mouth, God can give you the ability to restrain that. He can change your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He can change your heart, which will change the words that come out of your mouth. Verse number 32. So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves. There were three tables. There was the table that Joseph ate at, and he was the only one there. I wrote this down. Joseph was still isolated, even though he was the prime minister of the land. You see, everybody knew that he was a Hebrew. And the Egyptians, they had a table by themselves, and they set a table for the brothers. They knew that these people were Hebrews as well. And it says that the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. So anyway, we'll talk about something else here in just a minute. But I want to talk to you about this abomination factor. The word abomination that shows up in verse number 32, it's the first time that it is recorded in the scripture, to the best of my knowledge. And it's the word there, abomination means disgusting, detestable, filthy, to loathe, to pollute, or to stink. Those are the things. It is a disgusting, detestable, filthy, loathsome pollution, and it stinks. That's the description that the Egyptians had just to sit at a table and eat with a person of Hebrew descent. They thought it was disgusting, detestable, filthy, loathsome pollution, and stink. We would mock at that now. But I want to use this to talk about some other things. You see, we have some things each of us do in our lives that we find to be repulsive. One way that a Bible college professor of mine described this concept of abomination was that it was something that would cause the stomach to be agitated as if nauseous. That's how reprehensible this concept of eating with the Hebrews was for the Egyptians. Now, I would tell you that that's pretty shallow. It's racist. It's wrong. Okay? How's that for addressing that? Our churches should not be the most segregated places on the planet on Sunday morning. At church, we should be portraying a picture of what is taking place in heaven, and that is people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation are gathered around the throne worshiping him in their language. Okay? So that's what I believe. Even though we are not a large church, we are an internationally representative church. We have a wide array of different demographic subcategories. Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, what does a snapshot of your church look like? And it's like, do you have kids? Yes. Do you have old people? Yes. Do you have teenagers at that time? Yes. Do you have people in their 20s? Yes. 30s? Yes. 40s? Yes. 50s? Yes. We had everything. We had white. We had African American. We have people from the islands. We have Hispanics. We have just a wide array. Do we represent all of the nations of the earth? No. But we are a diverse group. And you know what? Anybody who has a problem with that, then they're going to need to find someplace else to worship, because we're not looking to become more uniform in the way that we look. We're not trying to portray one single demographic. We're trying to create a picture of heaven. That's what we're trying to create. And so it was the Egyptians had a racist view here. I want you to know that I don't have any time or any appreciation for the racist nonsense that goes on. I just don't. But I want to talk to you about this concept of abomination, because there are some in our society that have tried to redefine what God's word says that God finds reprehensible. He finds it to be an abomination. Where man may find something to be an abomination that is not a righteous portrayal, God's description of that which is an abomination to him is never going to be erroneous. I'll give you a picture from my example, or from my life. Decades ago, I was working outside of our kitchen. I was working under a carport in the town that we were living in, and I was trying to refurbish a vehicle. And while I was working on it, my wife came out to check and see what kind of progress I was making. And when she opened the door, she was preparing a food dish that I had never had before, never been around before. And when she opened the door, the scent of curry just flooded out the kitchen door right underneath the carport where I was at. And I said, "Oh my goodness, what is that stench?" Guys, I never said I was smart. I'm just telling you that, that was just my first response. Is when the scent of that curry hit my nose, it was like, that is an abomination it has a stink to it. And my wife loves curry chicken. That's what she was fixing that night. And there are a lot of people in our church that like it, but to me, it made me nauseous. Different taste. God's not like that. And so I just encourage you that when you see in the Word of God that God says something is an abomination, I want you to know that that is not in any way a comparison saying that God's standard of an abomination is as unjust and as foundationally flawed as what the Egyptians had here. When God says something is disgusting, it is disgusting. When God says something stinks, it stinks. When he says that it is a pollution to one physically or spiritually, I'm telling you, you do not want it in your life. When he says that he hates it, he hates sin. When he says that it is filthy, it is something that is unclean. You don't want it in your life. And so, rather than me doing the research for you and just putting it out there, I encourage you. Have you been on a journey to find out these things? Have you been on a journey in the Word of God to find out what pleases God? And have you been on a journey to find out what displeases him? Because if you and I are going to spend eternity with him, eternity is a long, long time. I suggest that we start preparing ourselves now to live with the things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight, not the things that causes him to want to separate and place distinction between himself and us. Let's see if we can't wrap up chapter 43 here today. And it says, "And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his. And the men looked at astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him." A few last things here. First of all, he knew the order that they were born in, and he set them accordingly. And it amazed them. They said, "How in the world could this guy possibly know all of this information about us?" I want you to know that God knows every detail about your life. He has an interest in you as a person, and he also knows all of your details. You were formed in your mother's womb because he loved you. He created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray that you are that you will just be overwhelmed with awe at the magnificent. Do you realize how vast this universe is, and God is so focused on you that he knows the thoughts and intents that you think in your heart? That's amazing. They each got servings. Benjamin's serving was five times as much as theirs, and that was because Joseph had asked for him. He said, "You are going to get special treatment." So Benjamin's serving was quite a bit more. And it says, "So they drank and were merry with him." Do you remember how they entered into the room that day? Do you remember what it was? They were filled with anxiety because they were being taken to Joseph's house because they thought that he was going to accuse them of stealing the money, not paying for the food that they'd bought the last time. And now it says that they ate, they drank, and they were merry with him. They still don't know that he's their brother, but there has been a relationship that is built to where the wall of anxiety has come down. And now they are able to relax and enjoy one another's company. Father, I just pray right now on this Wednesday, Lord, I pray that we would not be uptight, but God, instead, that we would be able to enjoy one another's company. I pray, God, that you would show us how to restrain ourselves, how to behave in a manner that is fitting, a child of the King. I pray, God, that you would continue to amaze us with all that you know about us, in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."